We turn to a few scriptures. The first one in Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, verse 15. And he, Jesus, said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Verse 19. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you. So we turn to Acts chapter 2. Well-known verses, but worth recalling. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Shall we now turn to 1 Corinthians? We look in at chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, where we're all partakers of that one bread. In chapter 11, verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took a cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, this do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. And may the Lord give blessing to what we have read and give help to bring forth what is upon my heart. The children of Israel, when they went out of Egypt, you'd find that God anticipated that their children would ask questions. You'd find there in the Exodus, chapter 12 and 26, they were going to ask about the feast. What mean ye by this feast? They were also going to be taught and asked questions in Deuteronomy chapter 6 in connection with the scriptures. And in Joshua, you find in chapter 4, they were going to ask about the meaning of these stones. When we come into the New Testament, we find expressions such as this in John chapter 11:59, that there was the Passover, a feast of the Jews. Let me tell you that some of us who have traveled, not that we want to travel, but we've traveled and we have observed. And I will well remember, never forget, as a boy, sitting with our brother John Abernathy, we used to sit at the back, and observing the breaking of bread. I well remember not only those days, but I also remember the first time that I was given the privilege of remembering the Lord Jesus in assembly fellowship. And from that day to this, I thank God for every time that I have the privilege of breaking bread by His command. Our brother has been speaking about building. The Word of God is quite clear as to what God wants us to build into God's assembly. But am I wrong when sometimes I observe a carelessness and an indifference and a quietness and a lack of exercise? I'm not now speaking just about giving out a hymn. I'm not speaking about that at all. But sometimes I wonder if we realize just the importance of the breaking of bread, how important it was that the Lord Jesus Christ said, with desire, have I desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. I honestly believe, personally, that from this exercise down through the years, it means more to me as the days go by, to be able to sit and remember the Lord Jesus. Not in a formal way, because, brethren, it can become a formality. I'm not going to go into the errors. I'm not going into the failures of God's people. But tonight I would just like to touch a few things about what the Lord Jesus Christ expects of us. We have been enjoying ministry from the Lord's hand. I don't know about you, but I've been really built up. I've been most encouraged. In fact, I thank God that I have attended the conference from Thursday night until the present. But I would like to bring before young believers, you may find men standing up here. You may find others are able to take part in the breaking of bread. But I would like to remind you that sometimes this is a lonely place. I would also like to encourage you that there was never a thing that we ever attempted for God, whether it was the breaking of bread or getting up to give thanks, that didn't take some measure of nervousness. I know that there's a leading of the Holy Spirit, but it's like a dear brother that got saved in Alaska. He used to represent the unions. But when he got saved and he wasn't taking any part in the first few Sundays that he was there, his wife, she thought he was like a stump on a log, and he said to her, "Tell her, this is different." And so it is. But let us look at some of these lovely things in connection with what we have read. You find that the Lord Jesus Christ, He had a desire to institute this feast. And this is what He says in Luke 22. He says, "This do in remembrance of me." It's reiterated again in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25. "This do ye in remembrance of me." Now, dear young believer, I honestly believe that there's nothing that delights the heart of God than your obedience to this last request of the Lord Jesus Christ. This too is a very, very simple thing, is it not? But it should be entered in with reverence. Because you find it's not only a command that the Lord expects us to obey, but you find that He wants us to, as we break bread, He says, do this in remembrance of Me. It's a person, it's the person of the Lord Jesus that we contemplate. It's not a time for ministry. It's not a time for giving out your sweet portion. It's not just something to share that you've gleaned, perhaps through the week, a few little thoughts. The center of the remembrance feast, dear young believer, is a person, and that person is our Lord Jesus Christ. Do this in remembrance of Me. Now, we know that there's, when we think of people, we come to the conference here and we remember certain ones. We remember those that ministered profitably and those who were engaged in the conference gatherings, and we revere their memory tonight. Some of us recall our parents. But please remember, this is not what the Lord Jesus wants. It's something that's more wonderful than remembering any of our loved ones or any experiences that we have ever had. It may be a very simple thing, but it's a very significant thing. And you find that as you and I, as young believers and as we grow old, I'll be quite honest with you. I keep a pen in my hand because there's many's a time in the morning meeting God ministers back to me. And I believe that this is a time, and it's going to be, I honestly believe, the foundation of a good Christian testimony. And you find that it's going to carry forward the Lord's assembly. We're going to build. Then let us remember that if we give to the Lord, and this is His own feast, well then you find, He says, do this in remembrance of Me. It brings before us in this feast something of the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we look at that bread, I don't know what you do, but it brings before me something way back there in eternity. I enjoyed what I heard today about the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, as I look at that bread, I think of the person of Christ. That way back there in a bygone eternity, that there was divine persons who spoke about this great salvation that would be accomplished at the place called Calvary. And I know I'm taking it out of its context, but having a simple mind, and I think that it's good, I think of what I read in Isaiah chapter 6, and I think of divine persons away back in eternity when this was devised, when the Lord Jesus Christ said, here am I, send Me. I know that is, I'm taking that out of context. But that is what comes across my mind as I look at the bread. And then I think of the birth, the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. One that we are hearing about today, who was so high, and yet He became so low. That one that angels worshipped, the seraphims, they were in His presence, and the cherubim. You find that one that Isaiah saw My day, and he saw My glory. Then we look, as we have been brought to think of that one who condescended in lowly grace,
and came down to this scene, and there at the manger was born a babe of days. Oh, the wonders of this person, that as we look at the bread, it reminds me of the person of Christ. I contemplate that. I contemplate how we were hearing that today, or was I talking about it with someone? How Mary brought forth her firstborn son. How God prepared that body. How that body was possessed, and how that body was presented at the place called Calvary. Young dear believer, it's not just something to take bread and put it in your mouth. It's not only a command to obey, but it's a person to gloriously remember. Remember, he said, do this in remembrance of me. And as we would prepare for tomorrow, and Saturday night is a good night, dear young believer, not for running hither and yonder, but to get yourself prepared before God, so that you might not just get something from God. He pours down his blessings morning by morning. His mercies are new every morning. Daily he loads us with benefits. But here is something that we can give to him, and that is to remember him. Do this. Oh, the obedience. What a joy to be able to obey the Lord Jesus in a scene that is rank disobedient to the things of God. How different from when we were on our way to hell, we were children of disobedience. And here I can turn out tomorrow morning with the assembly, and I can simply obey my blessed Savior when he says, do this. And I can remember him. I can call to remembrance the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us remember what our brethren have been bringing before us in the return of the Savior, the glorious rapture, and what we will have on Monday as we look forward to these Bible readings. But let us look back to that time when the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, became the Son of Man, that he might go to the place called Calvary. Then you find as you look on the bread, it reminds us not only of the body that was possessed by the Son of God, that one who was truly man, as we were hearing today, and truly God, that one who left the highest and came to the lowest, and we think of him as we get in Hebrews chapter 10, and there as the sin offering, he speaks, a body hast thou prepared me. And there at the place called Calvary, our blessed Savior presented that body in his own body. He bore our sins in his own body to the tree. Abram, when he was fed with bread and wine, oh, how empty it would be just simply to be like places where they have so-called communion, and the little wafers and the cups pass by, and it means absolutely nothing to them. I ask you this question. When we gather to remember the Lord, and you gather, would you not take these lovely verses and get before God, young man, and young woman too, because although it's inaudible, yet your worship is blended together, and to all our prayers and praises, Christ adds his sweet perfume. Love the censer raises their odors to consume. The words sometimes that are used by our blessed Savior, you would find that he blessed the bread and he blessed the cup. We know that Catholicism and other things have made mysteries out of this,
But the word blessed is a very interesting little word. You find that it's something that's got to do with thanks. So it's a time when we can give thanks to the Lord Jesus. And could I say this? Because we love young brethren. There's nothing that thrills our souls more, honestly, than to see our younger brethren participating in a godly, intelligent way in the things of God. The brethren will be encouraged. I just wonder now, you know, as we get a little bit older and we see young men. I remember very, very well, and I'll thank God for it, when old men like Hugh Vine, a brother of W.E., would take me under his wing and speak to me. He'd meet me coming off the train at nights. I was working, I was an engineer, and I would come off after having gospel meetings, and we would walk together, and he would speak to me about the things of the Lord. When I was commanded to the Lord for his word, he took me and he gave me a kiss and he says, "Now don't you turn back." And I did. I turned back to see him and there he was weeping. But I know now what it must have meant to some of these aged brethren that there was a young man who had an interest in the things of God. And that's what we want. We want to encourage you not to push yourself forward. Our brother has been bringing that before us. But to realize that here is that something that we can give to the Lord Jesus Christ. We can give our obedience to him. We can blend our voices in thanksgiving. The holiest, think of some of these lovely hymns. We do not have music in the morning meeting. We don't need it. And the reason we don't need it is because we don't worship in the gospel hall. We sing that lovely hymn, "The Holiest Now We Enter," in perfect peace with God, regaining our lost center through Christ's atoning blood. Though great may be our dullness, in word and thought and deed, we glory in the fullness of him who meets our need. If you're saved at all, young believer and young brethren, please exercise this glorious privilege of being obedient to the Lord Jesus in an intelligent way. So it's a time when you can be obedient. It's a time when you can remember him in his person. And then there's other things that we would like to bring before you. You find that it's a time, it says here in chapter 11, verse 26, you do show the Lord's death till he come. That little word, that verb there, it's used for preaching about 10 times. It's used to show 3 times and declare twice, and then you find it's to speak once. But you know what I believe it is? Because I do thank God for godly reception. I never ever forgot how I was received into God's assembly. I was interviewed by brethren, me and my wife, and we were asked certain questions, and then we were told that we would be received by the assembly. We sat at this side one Sunday morning at the back, and those that were going out shook our hands, and at that one the next, and then the third Sunday, we were received to remembrance of the Lord Jesus. And you find that it was sweet then, and it's sweeter as the days go by. We sat in the back seat and we observed. But is that who we preach to? I don't think so. Perhaps it might be, because in 1 Corinthians 14, you find there's the seat of observation. And that is why we do have a seat for strangers or those who are not intelligent in the things of God. It's not to shut out those that are qualified, but it's a place of courtesy set aside for those that would observe. But you know, young believer, I would just like to show you in chapter 3 of Ephesians and verse 10, this is what it says. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers and heavenly places might be known, not just shown, but known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. And the context there is the mystery of Christ by revelation. And you know, my simple way of looking at that is that when I remember the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm making a confession that when I remember the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm making a confession concerning his passion at the place called Calvary. I'm proclaiming, I know that God knows all about it, but I believe God loves to hear our voices raised in thanksgiving and praise, and it's like a message as you and I get exercised in connection with the Lord's death. Not just the Lord's life, but the Lord's death at the place called Calvary. And then notice, we've been having these studies this morning and on Monday, and this is what it says in verse 26, till he come. And that gives us a confidence in this hope that we have, that he will come. He that will come, and will not tarry. Do you know what that does for us? You find that it just makes us look forward more and more to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It gives us that weekly confidence that the promise of his coming, if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And you know, it turns our hearts heavenward. It turns our hearts homeward. It not only the remembrance feast takes us back into the eternal past, if I can use that expression, brings us in the life and death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus and the coming again when we will see him and be like him. Do this, he says, until I come. But lastly, and I leave some time for another, says down here in verse 28, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat. Brethren, if we enter in, and I say this kindly, if you or I enter in to a remembrance feast, and we have got something against a brother or a sister, we could come under the judgment of God. There are people, and they may think that God doesn't know, but he knows everything. He knows our hearts. And if I read this aright, the remembrance feast is a time of preparation. It's a time, as I can see it here, of getting my own person conditioned before the Lord to be able to remember him in this, his own divinely appointed way. What do I mean about getting myself conditioned? I wish sometimes that we would have the conscience of some of the native brethren. I remember there was had this joy a couple of times in my life when people who never had the opportunity that some of us have had, And you lead them into the truth to get saved and baptized and led into the truth of the remembrance feast. And I well remember this man. He used to travel about 150 miles on a Saturday night to come in to remember the Lord. And he didn't come in on a Sunday morning. He drove past. He left his wife and he went past. Now you had to turn and come back, and I waited on him. And I spoke to him. And I says, "What's wrong, Henry?" He says, "Well, I can't remember the Lord." He says, "Because I said something through the week to another man." I says, "Well, tell us, what did you say?" And he told me. And I says, "And then what happened?" He says, "I told him I was sorry." And I says, "Then what happened?" He says, "Well, I asked the Lord to forgive me." So I read that, and I read, "Let a man examine himself, and so let him stay at home." I says, "Henry," I says, "when I examine myself, I realize all the more that any worthiness that I have of entering into the presence of the Lord is not my own. If it was my own, I would never be fit to remember the Lord Jesus. But thank God for the priestly work of our blessed Savior, the one who leads us into God's presence, right inside the veil,